the blown budget. This is always a tricky one for me because from my experiences through business over the years, not just my photography business, but other business ventures that I've been in, it's a chess game. And it's like the book, The Art of War. You're not physically going to war, going to battle with weapons other than your mind, other than your strategies. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. So when I come across a client, when I'm thankful enough to land a client and be in negotiation with the client, I'll tell you right off the bat, my prices are considerably low for the value that I give. And that's not me bragging just to say that I'm that good that I should be able to charge more. But I mentioned in a previous episode, it just depends on your demographic. It depends on the client that you're working with, the client budget. You can't be successful in a freelancing business when your prices are arbitrary, yet you want to stick to a certain price. You can't be both. You can't do the same. You know, you have to pick one. So, for example, you have a big budget client that comes to you, wants a full advertising layout done for $10,000. Okay. You know, round of applause. You're happy about that. You're super excited. Your bills are covered. A whole lot of stress is alleviated. And you've got a $10,000 client. That's fantastic. Then the following week, you get a client whose budget's only $250. You want to be like, you know, I don't have time to deal with the $250 client. But considering that we are freelancers and that our business is just as arbitrary as our prices, you know, it's not consistent like a 9-to-5. We have to hustle for our business every single day. So you might want to say, you know what? I don't have time to do the $250 job right now because I'm doing $10,000 jobs. But what happens when that $10,000 job slows up and you don't have anything left but $250 jobs? So you have to be willing to play both sides, the high end budget and the low end budget, and still give good work, no matter what the price point is, depending on your client. But I say that to say you have a client that only has a budget of just say $250. You know, I very much think, well, I very much know the work that I do is worth more than $250. But again, I cater my prices to my client's budget, whatever they can afford at the time, depending on the project. You know, it literally is based on a project by project basis. My prices are not set in stone. That's why I don't have prices on my website, because when I did try to put prices on my website, customers or potential clients would always ask, do you have a package? Then I would have to construct a package depending on that client's needs. So I got rid of the price sheet on my website, because again, my prices are arbitrary, and they're based on a client by client basis. But back to the $250 client, just say you come across a client, a potential client that has a budget of $250. Chances are you're not the only person that they're in negotiations with. So they're negotiating with you and you say, okay, $250, this is what I can give you for $250. Then they reach out to another freelancer and the other freelancer says, you know what, for $250, I'll give you this, that, and the other. So now the client is going back and forth with you and the other potential freelancer that they're working with. And just say for this discussion, that freelancer says, I'll give you twice as many as Ahmed would give you for the same budget of $250. The client decides, you know, they let me know, you know what, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I decided to go with the other freelancer that I was in negotiations with, and I'll keep you on my list of potential freelancers for future endeavors, which happens a lot. So they go ahead and they deal with that client, or that freelancer rather, and unfortunately, their work doesn't turn out as good as they may have advertised it or sold it to be, and the client's not happy, but the client has now blown their budget because they went with a lesser freelancer that was offering more. Offering more doesn't mean you're necessarily a lesser freelancer, a lesser artist, but for the sake of discussion in this case, it just turns out to be that way. So what do? They reach out to you. Well, this is my direct experience. This is what has actually happened to me. I'm not making up stories. So what happens is the client ends up reaching out to you and they first come with two things. Number one, they say, you know, I should have worked with you in the first place. I wanted more photos, but I couldn't afford more photos, but I should have took the photos that you were offering for that particular budget that I had. And I got photos from this other freelancer and they're not as good as what you were offering. I'm sorry, I should have worked with you. And then two, they would say, can you take these photos and fix them? Can you work your magic in Photoshop and do something with these photos and make them usable for advertising, you know, for Amazon, Walmart, my website, eBay, whatever the case may be. Can you take these photos and work your magic in Photoshop and make them usable? And then, you know, I would, you know, depending on if the photos were really, really destroyed or still workable, but just not up to their standard, I might be able to work with them. And then I would go ahead and quote them a certain price. Sometimes, well, actually, let me say number three. Number three is, well, number three goes hand in hand with what I was just about to say at the tail end of number two. So might as well call it 2A. So what would happen is they would either say, wow, we already spent all of our money on these photos and they're not good. And now we have to pay you for Photoshop as if it's my fault. As if it's my fault because they blew their budget trying to go with the lesser freelancer. So they get a little upset that they blew their budget and then I'm charging X amount of dollars in Photoshop to go ahead and fix their photos when they're thinking, man, the price that you're charging in Photoshop to go ahead and fix these photos is almost the price that you're charging or that you offered or bid when you said you would take the photos and edit them and all that in one package deal. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, I told you so, you know, but I don't say that because that's just not professional, you know. So matter of fact, just scratch that from the record that I even thought that. But anyway, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, like I told you so, I'm offering a good deal. I'm already offering prices lower than I should be. But because your budget is only $250, this is what I'm willing to give you for $250. Now you want me to repair the photos that your freelancer did. And it's coming close to the price that I would have charged initially. Now you're upset. And then you're thinking, you know, I already blew my budget. You're almost charging as much as you would have charged initially for the whole project, just to Photoshop to work, as if Photoshop is easy. Look, folks, I know a lot of people don't do Photoshop in this world, but for the folks that do, they know. For the people that don't know, the auto buttons don't fix the work that you need to be fixed. It is very meticulous, time consuming work. Trust me. I'm not saying that just to sell my skills and sell the need for a freelancer in Photoshop and photography. Trust me. It is a skilled, it requires a certain set of skills to do what we do to make these great looking advertising photos that you see all over the internet that compels you to buy certain products. But I digress. The client doesn't understand that Photoshop takes as much time as it did if I would have took the photos and Photoshopped them anyway, because when I take the photos for Amazon and Walmart and whatnot, I still Photoshop them regardless. So they should have went with my package initially. But anyway, they get upset that they've blown their budget and they get upset that they have to pay almost what they paid initially for just Photoshop work to fix the bad set of photos that they got. And then I guess you could say number three, because they blew their budget, now they're going to come to me and say, I blew my budget on the wrong freelancer. I'm sorry. I should have worked with you first. Please, you know, forgive me and all that. But can you do the same amount of photos for less money? Are you serious, man? Where's the scratching needle? You know, when you need it on the record, that sound, like, seriously, first you thought I was too high. Then when you realize I wasn't too high and I delivered better work, now you blew your budget and you're upset because you don't have the photos that you want. But now you want to come back to me to either A, fix it in Photoshop and make them usable, or reshoot the project altogether. And you want me to reshoot the project for less than you paid a lesser freelancer. Talk about an insult. Talk about an insult, man. I mean, and you know what? To excuse the client, I guess sometimes they just don't understand. They don't understand what they're saying. And, you know, sometimes I have to let them know how insulting that is and what they're saying. And they usually apologize with the email response. Like, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't think about it that way. I didn't mean to insult you, but I'm just looking at the fact that I blew my budget and they're upset that they blew their budget. I get it. I totally get that you're upset that you blew your budget. Nobody wants to blow their budget. And when you're working with a freelancer, you're taking a risk. You're rolling the dice. You're taking a chance, hoping that they're going to deliver what they promise. I get it. And when they don't deliver what they promise, it's upsetting. You already paid them. It's all bad. I totally, completely 100% get it. However, that doesn't mean I should have to suffer as a result because you made a poor decision in choosing your freelancer. You know what I'm saying? So unfortunately, you just have to eat it. Write it off as a business expense. You're a legitimate business anyway. You're going into business. You know, I mean, I write off everything I possibly can every year, you know, because I hate taxes, but we're not even going to start that because if I do, the microphone might blow up. But, yeah, write it off as a business expense and find what money you can in order to get me to do the work that you need to get done. But don't come to me asking for a specific job. I give you a cost, a budget, a bid. You decline it, go to someone else, blow your whole budget, and then come back to me and ask for the same amount of work, the same quality of work for lesser money now. You want the same quality of work that I offered initially for $250 for less because you don't have the money in your budget, but you still want the same quality of work. How does that work in your mind? I mean, really? I mean, seriously, take a minute and think about that. How does that work in your mind to come to me and be like, man, I blew my budget. I don't have $250, but I got $125. I got $100. Can you give me the same amount of photos, the same five photos you were offering for $250? Can you do it for $100? No. If that was the case, I would have bid $100 off the beginning, off the top. Why would I take less for more work? Why would I take less to do the same amount of work that I was offering for more? That's just like when clients come to me and they offer or they want a bulk rate discount. Like, you know what? I've been working with you a couple of times and it's starting to get a little expensive and you do great work and I want to continue to work with you, but it's getting to the point where I don't know if I can afford to work with you anymore. Are you willing to offer a bulk package for more work? Now, the businessman in me is like, I got to sustain my business. I got to keep it going. So part of me wants to say, yeah, of course I'll do some bulk work at a discounted rate. However, when you think about it for what it is, bulk work for less money, that's more work for less money. That's not a win for me. You know, when clients offer you bulk work and I want to do a big old package deal and this, that, and the other, you're offering me more work for less money. Yeah, the work might be a little bit more consistent now because I'm doing a bulk project for you, but I'm still doing the bulk project for you for less money. I'm doing more work for less money. In the end, you win, I lose. We're supposed to be, I mean, I know we're not a partnership, completely partnership, but in a sense we are. Because you need me to deliver the quality photos that help you make sales so you could generate your money. It's just upfront business costs. I'm part of that business cost. I'm part of the business cost that you actually write off in your taxes. And believe me, folks, I mean, I don't want to start talking about it again, but I do pay my taxes. I'm a legit business. I pay my taxes. So when this business that comes to hire me has to write off the expense that they did to hire me and it shows up in their books for the IRS, when that IRS agent cross-references it and checks it against my books, they'll see that they paid me X amount of dollars for the work that they both claim that they paid me for. And I'm writing off or I'm writing in my taxes, my income that I actually did the work for said amount of money. So it's legit. So with that being said, for that new business that's a startup or they blew their budget, use me as a write-off. As a business expense, because that's exactly what I am. And that's going to save you money ultimately in the long run. But don't lowball me, you know, just because you blew your money on an unfortunate bad decision with the wrong freelancer. Don't lowball me because you made a bad decision. It's not my fault and I shouldn't have to suffer as a result. Yeah, it's a thin line. I got to negotiate carefully because I don't want to upset the client. And then they think, oh, I'm snooty and I got an attitude and they don't want to work with me at all anymore. And I lose money, period. You know, you got to make money in this game. I could sit there and stick to my guns and say $250 or nothing. And they say nothing. And then I'm broke. Or I can lower my rates and do a little bit of less work. And, you know, we meet somewhere in the middle and I got enough money to pay my lights for the month. You know, it is back and forth. It's that seesaw. It's the up and down. It's the wave of freelancing. So this is not a freelancing ending. I'm going to end this one right now, but I got a short story to tell you that's similar to what I just told in my story about this bulk rate pricing and blown budgets and all this and less for more and so on and so forth. Check this story out. And I actually witnessed this firsthand. Matter of fact, you know, everybody knows I live in Vegas now, but I used to live in Long Beach for years before I moved out here to Nevada. Anyway, there was a liquor store, a little corner store directly across the street from my apartment next to this taco shop. Man, that taco shop was the best. Oh, man, I could eat at that taco shop every night. But, oh man, I wish I was there right now. Anyway, getting away from that taco shop and going back to the corner store. There's a corner store. It was a convenience store that sold everything. I'm talking deodorant, toilet paper, toothpaste, toothbrush, milk, cheese. I mean, everything you needed, almost kind of like a 7-Eleven, but better. But it was a mom and pop privately owned store, not a chain store. Anyway, I'm in line to pick up something. I forget whatever I was there to buy. And this is, there's a lady in front of me and she's in line and she's a foreign lady. I want to say she sounded English or Australian or something, but that don't have anything to do with it. It's just the fact that that's how I remember the story. Anyway, she's at the front desk or the cashier arguing with the lady, the owner of the store, about the pricing on the toothpaste. She wanted to buy some toothpaste. They had two different toothpaste, two different pricing. One toothpaste was like a dollar and it was an off brand that nobody and a mama ever heard of ever before in life. And then there was the name brand toothpaste for like, just say $2.50 or something like that. Excuse me. So the ladies at the counter arguing like, which one of these toothpastes are better? And the lady says, well, the one for $2.50 is better than the one for a dollar. And then the customer says, well, can I just pay you a dollar for the better toothpaste because I don't have $2.50 for it? And the cashier's looking bewildered, as am I, like, no, you can't give me a dollar for $2.50 toothpaste. If that be the case, I'll just label it for a dollar. This is not a negotiation. You can't come in here wanting the better toothpaste for $2.50, but only want to pay a dollar for that the cheap, no name, probably don't do nothing toothpaste does or costs. You know, you can't do that. I mean, come on, man. How hard is it? How hard is it? There's an art to negotiation. And that was a fail right there. That's not how you negotiate. You don't sit there and ask for the best product for the lesser product price. That's just not how you negotiate. I'm not the best negotiator, but trust me, I know how to negotiate very well. So, you know, that's like going into your favorite clothing store. My brother got on my case for talking about Versace and Burberry, said I'm out of date, you know, but My fashion comes from the Gap. Well, not even the Gap. My fashion comes from, what's that store? I haven't even shopped in a long time. What's the name of that store? Old Navy. There we go. That's where I shop. I shop at Old Navy and Macy's on a good day, but usually it's like Old Navy or something like that. So I don't shop. I'm out of touch when it comes to fashion. I never been. I don't care. But anyway, that's like going into... Matter of fact, let's just use the Gap and Old Navy, for example. They're the same store, same owned by the same company, but the Gap is the higher end of the clothing that's being sold, right? So that's like me going into the Gap, wanting a pair of jeans from the Gap that costs maybe $50, or I want the jeans from the Gap, they cost $50. I got the jeans from Old Navy in my hand and they cost like $30, but the jeans from the Gap look better, they fit better, they feel better, better material, and I want to pay $30 for the Gap jeans like the Old Navy jeans cost. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't go into the Gap looking for Old Navy prices. It just don't work that way. You can't do that. Or even me with my outdated Versace reference. You know, what do Versace shirts cost? $1,000 or something like that? $600? That's insane. I'd never do that even if I was rich. But anyway, that's just me. But just say, you know, if a Versace shirt costs $1,000, you can't walk into Versace with an Old Navy shirt in your hand and say, hey, man, this Old Navy shirt looks just like that Versace shirt, but this Old Navy shirt costs $35, but I want the real deal Versace. Can you give me the real deal Versace for $35? It looks just like this Old Navy. You want $1,000 for the Versace. It looks just like this Old Navy shirt for $35. Give it to me for $35. You know, you look silly. You sound silly. You can't negotiate like that. That is horrible negotiations. Matter of fact, I'll just give you one more reference before we end. Just like sales, I've seen sales pitches. I see sales pitches all the time. I pay attention to it all the time. On one end, I hate advertisements, but at the same token, I work in advertisement, so I can't be mad at the game, but I'm mad at people who have poor negotiation skills. And what I mean is a company will offer a service and they'll say something, they'll put out an ad, a big sale, right? And they'll say something like, oh, normally $1,000 for such and such project or for such and such product, but this week only for the next 3 days, we're selling it for $20. Dude, I mean, come on, man. Do you think we're that stupid to where you're going to drop $1,000 product to $20 just to make a quick sale? No, man, it does not happen that way. Does not work in that way. Even if it's a fire sale, even if you're going out of business tomorrow, you're not selling $1,000 item for $20. Or let's be even more realistic. I've seen this with my own two eyes. It'll be a product being sold for $4.99, but this week only, we're going to make a one-time only sale for $99. Still, not as dramatic as my first example, but you still don't drop from $4.99 to $99. I've been in sales for many years. Matter of fact, a lot of us are all in sales and we know the game. We know the game. You don't do that. You don't go from $4.99 to $99. That's not believable. That's not believable. So any customer, potential customer that has any business savvy, any just regular negotiating skills or just any sense whatsoever, they're going to look at that and see, you went from $4.99 to $99? Man, please. Now, if you were to went from $4.99 to $4.79 or $4.59, it's like, okay, let me jump on that real quick before this deal is gone. But to have something for sale for $4.99 and then this week only it drops down to $99. But if you really pay close attention like me, I'm the type of person that will look at an ad and see what the regular price was, and then see what they drop the price down to, for one, just to see how big a mistake that I think they're making. I mean, I'm not an expert. That's double negative. I'm not an expert when it comes to negotiating price settings and all that stuff. But again, at the same token, I do know the game. But speaking of the game, what you got to pay attention to sometimes is, just say, for example, on Monday at the first of the month, they say 3 days only, it's on sale from $4.99 down to 99 cents. Or $99, and then 2 weeks later, 2 months later, they're still offering that same $4.99 down to $99 this week only sale. You know, you got to pay attention to people trying to be slick out there. Like, I used to work at the stereo shop, and we would have a sign that said grand opening, and that grand opening sign would be up for 2 weeks to maybe 3 weeks, a month pushing it, you know. But then if the sales didn't generate like we wanted them to, we get another sign made that said grand reopening, you know, under new ownership again, just to try to bring more people in. And it'd just be the same people. And matter of fact, I would see customers come in, look at us, laugh at us, be like, man, y'all had a different sign up last week that said grand opening or grand reopening. What y'all up to? And, you know, me and the boss would just sit there and laugh like, look, man, we're just trying to generate some sales. You know, and the customer will laugh about it. Then we get to talking about it, and then we'll go ahead and sell some stereo equipment or whatever the case may have been and go ahead on with our day. But you can't, you can expect more for less. And I honestly offer or actually give my clients more for less. Cause like I said, my pricing is considerably low considering the work that I do for them. So I always give them more because that's how I get return clients. You know, what is it? I said in a previous episode, under promise, but over deliver. You know, that's what I do. I built my business on that. And here I am still to this day, still in business, still running, still up and running strong because I always under promise, but over deliver. I always give clients more than they want. So when they finally see, when I send them a proof, they're like, oh my God, man, this is better than I expected. This is perfect. We go ahead and finalize the contract. I get paid, move on to the next client. And hopefully that same client that I just wowed will come back to me when they have another product for sale. But anyway, I always under promise, over deliver, but I don't do the same amount of work for less amount of money because you blew your budget because you weren't paying attention to what I was offering you. You were just looking for a deal. Sometimes the greatest deal is not always the best. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work. That $4.99, but this week only $99 deal is not a good deal because it's always $99. They're just trying to put the $4.99 price tag on there to give it some false sense of worth to make you think it's worth something, you know, but that don't work on me, which is exactly why you won't find me in the store buying a $300 t-shirt because it has some big old name brand on it. I'm not that dude. Even if I had lotto money, I'm not paying $300 for a t-shirt. I don't care whose name on it. Even if it's my name on it, I'm not paying $300 for a t-shirt, man. I'm just not that guy. But anyway, I hope you got the message that I was trying to deliver. I hope it helped you out. Hope it prepared you for some negotiations because in this freelance world, you are going to come across some clients like that. They might not necessarily be rude. They might not be trying to insult you or anything like that, but sometimes they just don't understand the art of negotiation, the art of valued services being offered. You know what I mean? We offer a very valuable service. You know, no matter what it is, you know, I always speak from a photography perspective, but you know what I'm talking about. Even when you know, I always reference clothing designers. You know, if you design some good clothing that's going to last for years, you're offering a very valuable product, very valuable service. I take photos for advertisement purposes. Those photos, they own the rights to those photos forever. That means they can make money off those photos forever. So pay me up front what I'm worth, because my pictures, my photos are going to generate money for you. That's how it works. And because you're a legitimate business, I am a write-off. That's how it works. It goes hand in hand. That's just how the game is played. I don't see how some people don't understand that, but it is our job to educate our client and not to be snooty about it. Not to be rude about it and talk down to them like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to negotiate. Never do that. That's just, you're just shooting yourself in the foot. Why would you do that? Why would you try to humiliate and embarrass your customer? You don't try to slick talk your customer. You try to educate them and let them know, look, I'm a business write-off. This is what it costs for you to get my services. You can write them off at the end of the year when you file your taxes, your business expenses. I'm a part of your business expense. But if I create the photos that you need to generate sales, it's a win for you because you'll be generating sales off those photos for years to come. And you can attach that to any type of product, any type of service. So with that being said, this is my service to you. Free game, free business experiences that I share with you. And hopefully you can save them in your pocket for when you do come across something like this, you can put it to use. Or if you've already experienced it and you're going to experience it again, maybe I'm that aha moment for you and you can go back and renegotiate and get what you're worth. Get paid what you're worth always. All right. I'll talk to you guys next week.